So it can be a very difficult thing to ask the question, why? And quite honestly, asking the question why isn't always the best question to ask, is it? Simply because why may not have an answer, or sometimes if it does, it may not be a good answer. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do children get cancer sometimes? Why is there pain and suffering in the world? Why is a spouse unfaithful in marriage? Why is addiction such a plague on the lives of so many? Why do we have tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes and mudslides? We may not always have answers, and rarely have good answers for the why questions in life. And now, you could say an overly simplistic answer to all of these things, though it may or may not be very helpful. The overly simplistic answer is that the world, the entirety of the world, is lost and broken, and that all creation longs for stability in the midst of the chaos of life. None of the things of pain and suffering are unknown to God. None of the things of pain and suffering are forgotten by God either. The Lord acts through His own creation in many and varied ways. And it is not always our privilege to understand why, but it is our privilege to know who. And thus, by knowing who, and that is namely Jesus Christ, we know ourselves both as individuals and as a congregation, united by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. This morning, and wasn't it a privilege to have Jackie reading for us? Some of you may not know Jackie, but Jackie moved back to the UK several months ago. Has it been a year yet? It's been a year. And Jackie is back here visiting with us for a couple of weeks. And it's great that in our Anglican worship service that we get to hear a nice British accent, right? Welcome back, Jackie. But the Lord speaks through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, the passage that Jackie read for us. And he's telling the people of Israel, God's chosen people, who they are. He's reminding them of who they are. This is a very common theme. This happens over and over and over again, especially through the books of the Bible that describe the time in between the Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea by Moses, all the way to through the journey in the wilderness, through the return to the promised land, the land of Canaan. Over and over and over again, God is reminding them of who they are, and mostly who they are because of who He is. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt with a mighty hand. Through signs and wonders, great and grievous things against Egypt and Pharaoh, to go into the promised land of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I gave you the great commandments to learn, to follow, to obey, to observe, and to love. Friends, God is reminding the people of Israel over and over and over again who they are and who He is, and thus who they are in Him, His chosen people, a people set apart, You are not in Egypt any longer. You are no longer the slave, nor are you the slaveholder. I'm going to deliver you into this promised land, the land that was yours, that is promised to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the land of Canaan, but it is full of extreme idolaters. The Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and all those others. He's reminding them over and over again, you're not Egypt and you're not the extreme idolater. You are different. You are my chosen people. You are God's people. So now as we continue to consider what God spoke through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, and then also what we prayed together in our psalm, Psalm 66, we come to the letter of St. Peter. And knowing that the Lord is still reminding us of who we are, just as he did with the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness, and he is also reminding us of who we are in him, initiating the question within us of who are we as a church? Who are we as God's chosen people at this time, in this place, in history? And the passage that we read this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2 begins with the word so. A very simple word, right? So. But immediately what that does for us is that it gives us the need to recall what he just said. So what did St. Peter just say in the previous section? Because now, because of what he just said, he's going to expand upon that. So Peter has reminded us previously that we are, that we as followers of Christ have been called to be holy. We have been called to be holy. That is, that we have been called to be a people set apart to do the work for God at a time and place in history. All Christians have. A people called to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, in word and in sacrament, that he has inimitably contended that we are not to put our trust in humans or humanity or man-made institutions. Our hope is not in worldly things, but in the glory of God, who by the precious blood of Jesus is the perfect sacrifice and atonement for our sins, therefore calling us into a life dedicated to being worshipful and obedient to him. So, a lot of depth in that little two-letter word, huh? So we submit ourselves to the Lord. And when we submit ourselves to the process of becoming holy, you know, that fun theological word for that is sanctification. When we submit ourselves to the process of becoming holy, we submit the entirety of ourselves. Our minds, bodies, thoughts, our actions, our inactions, our pursuits, our bank accounts, our homes, our work, our family, our leisure, truly the entirety of who we are, we get to submit to the goodness of the Lord. This is a privilege, friends. It is a privilege to submit ourselves in every way to the goodness of God. And Peter tells us that this is what comes when we are called to be holy and when we are reborn into a living hope because of what Jesus has already done for us. And this is not only meant for us as individuals. It is meant for that, but not only for that. It is meant for us as a larger body. The corporate body of Christ together here, right now, at St. John's Parish Church. So, that word again. So, back to the question that I think comes from this passage in 1 Peter. Who are we as a church? Who are we as God's chosen people at this time and place in history? Think about that. Think about that question. I know, and you know, that the Lord has been doing a major work within us these last 4 years. We have followed His lead, been as obedient as possible to His will, and always looked to His faithfulness to increase our own faithfulness. And do you remember so many of the memorable things that have taken place over these last 4 years? I'm gonna name just a few of them. Some of them are funny. Some of them are not so funny. All of them are part of the story of who we are these last 4 years, though. Like the time that two different times that the fire alarms went off during our worship service. Or how about the time that the electricity went out early in the service and it came back on right as I was pronouncing the peace during the worship? That was a pretty amazing time. Only a few of you remember this part, but there's an elevator just across the hall there. And the maintenance man got trapped in the elevator one time. Yeah, that happened. We remember a couple of summers ago, walls being painted, floors being redone and replaced. We remember just over a year ago, the deluge of rain that came down upon us when we tried to do our outside worship at Bugby Plantation. We purchased a 22-acre parcel of land on Main Road. We conducted a capital fundraising campaign in order to develop that property that we affectionately know of as Church Place. We held our first worship service at that place, the Christmas service of Lessons and Carols, singing underneath all those pine trees. And now we continue planning and efforts to break ground and fully develop that property. This is only a few of the things that have gone on these last 4 years. The book is being written, by the way. But all the while, as we've been going through all of this these last 4 years, quite honestly, we haven't missed a beat when it comes to the missions and ministries that God has called us to. We have been on multiple mission trips to both Peru and Uganda. We have increased outreach in so many areas, right here at Hot Gap Middle School, to St. Albans Chapel at the Citadel, the feeding of the multitude, the Islands Revival for Women, the Charleston County Juvenile Detention Center, only to name a few of the things that we have increased, actually, in these last 4 years. And also, the Lord continues to do the work of building His kingdom within our midst. Over the last 4 years, we have had more than 20 baptisms, both adults and children, as well as a large number of those that have been confirmed, reaffirmed, received into our church. Friends, the Lord is doing a major work right here in our midst, right here at St. John's Parish Church, and will continue, especially in the development of Church Place and the full rebuilding of our staff. So, again, as we come to the Lord again and again and again to worship, to celebrate, to fellow together, to study, to serve, and to be joyful, we remember who He is, which then directly informs who we are as a congregation in Him. As we are and continue to be built together, God dwells in our midst. The glory, the gifts, the grace of God are available within the church, within our church, in a way that is not otherwise available, friends. The glory of God is accessible within the church that is not in the world. What we do, how we think, how we conduct ourselves in worship, what we do when we serve are immediate and direct reflections of being transformed by the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because as he said himself in the gospel reading from John today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the God of all salvation dwells within us, his gathered church. So the church, the gathered church, our church, St. John's Parish Church, is different from the world around us, as it should be. You know, we can go to the grocery store and find 45 different varieties of cereal to choose from on the shelves. We can go to any number of the local fast food joints and have our hamburger made just the exact way that I want it. Friends, the church isn't like that. The church is different. The church should be different than that. The long-standing traditions and biblical understanding of the church proper are not intended to be made to order. They're handed down to us from the Lord so that we can worship him goodly and rightly. The church is different. Just as the people of Israel were reminded 3,000 years ago. Just as we were reminded 2,000 years ago when Peter wrote this letter. And nearly 100 years ago, it was written and is just as relevant today as it was then by Archbishop Michael Ramsey, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, when he wrote the following. The church of the apostles consisted in pointing to the death of Jesus the Messiah and the issues of sin and judgment. Now, this sounds nothing like the world around us, does it? This sounds like a people who are called to be different. Well, Ramsey continues. His church on earth, Jesus' church on earth, is scandalous. And if only Christians know whence they come and whither they go, they are the place where the passion of Jesus Christ is known and where witness is borne to the resurrection of the dead. Beloved, friends, this is the church. This is who we are. Or, you know, I suppose we could say it an even simpler way, as St. Paul did in 1 Corinthians, when he said, I choose to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it is these things that are foreign to the world. It is these thoughts, these concepts that are offensive to the devil. These words are simply unknown to too many. But friends, we have been called to be the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ at St. John's Parish Church, called to be together, to worship the Lord, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, and to live our lives as individuals and corporately, entirely transformed by what Jesus has already done for us. Peter said, Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The world is not friendly to the church. It never has been, and it never will be. But then again, the church is entirely different from the world. So, again, brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. You have been called to be here. This morning, you are here for a purpose and for a reason. That reason and that purpose may be known only to you, but you are here for a reason. And we are called to be together, to be the church of God through Jesus Christ, and to be the chosen people of God at this time and place in history. Amen.
Distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping.